Right. Well, it is a blessing to be back here. We've been here for a couple weeks, but we've hardly been here. And we've been at the camp. We're reporting to a few of our churches in the area. We just got back from Soldotna and was with the church in Kenai this morning. And so we're thankful to be back here tonight. And thank you, Brother Hirschberger. That's a blessing to hear what your family's doing. And me and my wife have experienced that firsthand now, realizing how important it is to have those fellow helpers. Because I tell you, you sweat and put in the time and the effort, and when you have to leave, you leave part of yourself there, and you really do need someone there to take the ministry while you're gone. And so we appreciate what you're doing, and excited to hear what the Lord is going to use you for. And just by way of quick update, some of you have asked different needs and whatnot. We are flying back to Unalakleet on Friday. Lord willing, we got our tickets finally. And when we get back, we're going to be looking for a house. Some of you might know we had to move out of a house at the end of May. And we're just waiting for the Lord's leading on that. And we packed everything up, put it in the church house. And so we thankfully have a place there. So we're basing out of a two-bedroom parsonage with the church as well. So we're going to be tight for a little while, but praise the Lord, we have a place and we're thankful for that. And we're excited to see what the Lord has for us next. And just put that on your prayer list, if you will. God's leading on a house there that we can either rent for another short time until we can get something more permanent. And, it's always a blessing to come to our home church. And, I'm thankful for this church. I've mentioned this before. The local church is where God works, and God works to build a person through the local church. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to grow up in this church and to be under the influence of great pastors, great preachers. And I know it's Father's Day. I'm thankful for many here that actually did play a part in a father figure in my life, as I didn't grow up with my father in our home. But there was many men here that filled that place in many ways in my life. I'm thankful for that. And I'm also thankful to be a father. It's a great privilege and a great honor. And so we thank you for your support again. And we thank you that we can be here for a short time with the camps. How many of you 8 to 12-year-olds are excited about camp? I know tomorrow starts 8 to 12 camp. So I will try not to preach too long tonight, because I remember what it was like the day before 8 to 12 camp. It couldn't come soon enough. But I do want to encourage you tonight, if you would, in the book of Matthew, if you would, Matthew chapter 15. I don't plan to be long tonight, but I do want to encourage you in this message. I didn't know. I just prayed for the Lord's direction in the message tonight, and through the testimonies, I believe the Lord confirmed that a little bit with the direction of the message, dealing with our approach to God, or our posture when it comes to approaching God. Especially in prayer, in seeking God's face. You know, I've learned that posture is important. I was just at the chiropractor the other day. Since about January, I've had just pain in my neck. Not to joke or anything, but I've had pain in my neck. And by the way, my wife's story about the plumbing. All right, she had it right, except the timing was off. She was supposed to have come in the kitchen right when I put the shop back on. So I missed her. That was the my timing was off. But and thankfully that drain is working, by the way. So in the village, when you do a plumbing job, you just pray, because there's usually a surprise somewhere. And so thankful for that. But I learned that posture is important. I was at the chiropractor, and I thought, well, you know, I had a bulged disc in my neck some years ago from an incident, and I thought, well, maybe something's going on. I just want to go make sure that everything is good to go while we're here. And everything checked out. He said, why don't you work on your posture? You know, you might need to work on. I told him, you know, I spend more time now studying, reading. And he said, well, maybe you need to work on your posture. And I said, yeah, that could be. I do spend more time reading now and things like that. And I encouraged our folks this year, starting January 1, to read through the Bible in a year. And I said, I want to challenge you this year to do this. We've been putting out schedules And most of them took us up on that. They've been reading along with us. And so that's even put more Bible reading on the schedule, which has been very good. I encourage you, if you've never done that, to do that. It is a very good way to just immerse yourself in the Word of God. And you're getting a lot of the Word of God at one time. And it's a blessing. And so the chiropractor said, you need to work on your posture. You know, you know when you're leaning forward, reading, you're putting 10 pounds of extra weight on your spine. You know, that could be your problem. And so tonight I want to think about this with the message. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 22, we'll read about the account of the Canaanite woman that came to Christ. And she was very careful how she approached Christ. And again, I want us to think about our posture tonight when it comes to approaching Christ. And there's some great lessons, I believe, from this woman. By the way, a Gentile woman. And I've always loved this account of Scripture. It's been a help to me. But let's go ahead and read, if you would, Matthew 15, verse even 21. We'll begin there. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's go ahead and pray, if you would. Father, we thank you for opportunity, Lord, to open your word tonight. Father, I pray that tonight as we come, that we would be ready to receive what you have for us. May we lay aside any distractions of life for this moment. Father, as we see this woman, Lord, she had a great need. Lord, many tonight in this room may be here tonight with a great need in their life. Lord, Lord, each one of us come with different struggles and different burdens. And Lord, I pray that we would look at the life of this woman tonight briefly, that we would understand that she came and she approached you, Lord, very carefully but very sincerely. And may we learn some very important lessons from her tonight, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Again, tonight, this woman came to Christ with a great need. She came to Christ with a great need. And notice in verse number 28, Jesus said that great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. And if I'm not mistaken, this is only the second time that Jesus ever said that about anybody in the Bible, of someone having great faith. And tonight, I don't know about you, but I would love for the Lord to say about me, great is thy faith. How can we have a great faith, though? Well, I believe it's important to examine this woman's approach to the Lord to understand why she could have a great faith. And tonight, another thing to think about tonight, you know, sometimes great faith is shown in great trial. Sometimes great faith is shown in great trial. Sometimes it takes us to go through that deep trial for our faith to really be shown and to be proven. And the Bible even says that if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. And listen, tonight, let's look first of all at the woman in verse 22. Notice how she approaches God, first of all, with humility. She approaches God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with humility. In verse number 22, notice how she comes. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Now, three times she addresses Jesus as Lord. And this term, Lord, is a reference to master, or it's a reverent term. It's not the name of the Lord. It is a reverent term of the Lord. And three times, every time she mentions her request to the Lord, she references him as Lord. And she says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And I can imagine this woman is very, very wanting her request to be known to the Lord. But first of all, she approached him with humility. And how that she approached him was, have mercy on me. And I think one area of our lives that we need to recognize when we come to the Lord is realize who we are before the Lord. This woman, I believe she knew who she was. She was a Gentile. She knew that for her to even go to the Lord Jesus was, even to get an audience, this would be a great miracle for just the Lord to hear her because she was a Gentile. Nevertheless, she went. She approached Christ with great humility. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, I don't know about you tonight. I know who I am. You know who you are. We are in need of great mercy. And when we approach Christ, our posture should be that of humility and how we approach him. Look, if you would, quickly in Luke 18, real quick. Luke chapter 18 describes, I think, this very well in how the parable of the publican and the sinner here in Luke chapter 18. And Jesus presents this parable very, very clearly here. And he tells us how we should approach Christ in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. You know the parable how the Pharisee came and he praised here in verse number 10. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood. Notice his posture. He's standing. All right? He's standing. He says, and he prayed thus with himself. All right? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice his posture. It's a posture of pride, is of self-righteousness. He approached the Lord in the wrong way. But notice verse 13. This is where I believe this woman we're reading about in Matthew comes in. This is where God, he sees the heart. And in verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice Jesus says, I tell you, this man, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Listen, we need to approach Christ with humility. This publican, he knew who he was. He knew his heart. He knew that he was a sinner. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. This woman in our text approached the Lord with great humility. The verse James chapter 4, verse 6 was brought up earlier this evening. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Listen, God resists the prideful. He resists those with a proud look. And this woman, I believe, God looked upon her and saw one that came with humility. But not only did she come with humility, I believe she came with a worship of God. Look back in our text in Matthew chapter 15. She approaches the Lord with worship. You say, what's so important about that? Well, you know, if you ever come to the Lord with a great need and you just jump right in and say, Lord, I need this. You know, I need this now. I want this now. I need this now. This is a great need. And sometimes we forget to just stop and worship the Lord. And we forget to worship Him for who He is. Look in verse 25, if you would, of our text. It says, Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, there's that term again, Lord, help me. It says she came, she worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. What does the word worship mean? It means honor. It means respect. To perform religious service. Listen, when we approach God, we need to approach Him with a mode of worship. We need to come before Him with a respect and an honor. Look in the Psalms, if you would. I have two references here. I'd like to look real quickly in Psalm chapter 5. These verses are a blessing. I think they'd be well worth their time to look at. Psalm chapter 5. I remember reading these verses and thinking about this woman that we are speaking about in Matthew. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. Again, we're talking about how we approach the Lord in our posture, in our approach to Him. Psalm 5, verse 7. The Bible says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy." Again, mercy. I think one of the most important things when we come before the Lord, we need to understand how merciful God is to even hear us, how merciful God is to even give us time. He says, "In the multitude of thy mercy and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." And I believe that describes this woman so well that we're reading about in Matthew. She approached the Lord with worship. And again, look in Psalm 95, if you would. Psalm 95, verse 6. The scriptures also say, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Why do we many times just come before the Lord and jump right in and say, "Lord, I need this. I have this great need in my life." We forget to worship the Lord for who He is. And we forget to worship Him for the great things He's done for us. And listen, when we understand God's mercy, when we keep God's mercy at the forefront of our life, I think it'll help us in how we approach the Lord. I think it will. And we know in John 4, verse 23, you don't have to turn there, but we know that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This woman, she not only approached the Lord Jesus with humility, she approached the Lord Jesus with worship. But look back in Matthew, if you would, chapter 15, because I believe this last point, in fact, I know it because in the Gospel of Mark, it says that this phrase that the woman is about to say is the very reason that God answered her. Look back in, if you would, Matthew chapter 15, verse 27. If you read again in verse 26, notice how Jesus answered her. It says, "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." What a, we look at that and we think, wow, that's hard. That's rough. Jesus speaks to this woman as a dog. And the Jewish people refer to the Gentiles as dogs. And we think, well, why did the Lord do that? Why is he refusing this woman? Well, I don't have all the answers, but I want you to think about this tonight. Notice in verse 27 how she responds, because I believe a lot of us, we probably would have given up right there. We say, "All right, he's not going to listen. He's not going to hear my request. He's not going to heal my daughter. I'll just turn aside." Notice in verse 27 it says, "And she said, truth, Lord, truth, Lord." In other words, she agreed with the Lord. She agreed with her master. And then she says, "Yet," that small word. And I believe right there, she says, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I believe that that moment, the Lord Jesus Christ, his attention was on her. I believe that as we see this, we need to approach the Lord, lastly, with persistence. We heard about this tonight a little bit. We need to approach the Lord with persistence. How many times do we come before the Lord and say, "I need this, Lord," but then that's the only time we come. And we forget about the request, or maybe it wasn't that important to us, and we turn away and never ask again. I believe this is what Jesus was waiting for when he at first refused this woman. And when she turned around and agreed and said, "Lord, I know I am nothing. I don't deserve your mercy. She says, yet. She says, yet. The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I believe she approached the Lord with persistence. Again, how many of us would have turned away and said, you know what, why try again? Why even ask again? And listen, tonight, I don't know about you. Maybe you've been asking. Maybe you have a great need in your life. I don't know what it might be. Keep asking. Look quickly, if you would, in Luke 18. We'll be done shortly. Luke chapter 18. Again, this is Christ speaking about the parable of the woman that came and asked a petition again at another time. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus describes this parable as, he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Again, have you ever fainted in prayer? Have you ever grown weary in asking? You say, well, I've asked the Lord this hundreds of times. Jesus said he spoke this parable so that we would, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, I believe the Lord, one of the reasons he doesn't always answer us the first time, because he wants us to always pray to him. He wants us to come back. I don't believe that's the only reason, but I think it is one of the reasons that the Lord wants us to get into the habit. He wants us to keep coming back, and he wants us to keep praying and keep communicating. Notice the parable, it says, there was in a city a judge. He says, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. All right, it's Father's Day today. How many fathers have had your children come asking continually for something? Continually. I've got one or two kids that are very good at that. They are persistent, and they many times get what they ask for because of it. And they know how to ask. They're persistent. And this judge here, it says that because this woman was coming, it wearied him. In verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not... And he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? How many times have you cried unto the Lord day and night for a need in your life? In verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus equates the faith here to persistent prayer. To persistent prayer. And again, I don't know all the answers why many times the Lord doesn't answer immediately. But I believe tonight one of the reasons he wants us to keep praying is he wants us to come and he wants us to be there and ask over and over. And he wants that fellowship with us. And again, in James 5:16, this is where the fervent prayer comes in. The fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, this woman back in our text in verse 15, chapter 15 of Matthew, Jesus said, this woman has great faith. Great faith. Why? She was humble. She approached the Lord with humility. And then she came with worship. She worshiped the Lord. But then when the Lord said, you know what? I didn't come for you. I didn't come to the Gentiles. You know, this is not your time. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. And listen, I think we can learn some great lessons from this woman tonight. And persistence, I believe, shows our complete dependence on God. Does it not? If we can go to the Lord and ask a need, but then never go back, maybe we're not so dependent on the Lord as we thought. Maybe we are not so dependent on His mercies as we thought. But when you have a great health need in your life or a great financial need, isn't it amazing how quickly we fall to our knees and we say, Lord, help me. She knew Jesus was her only hope. I mean, if I had a daughter like this woman had in this situation, She knew if she turned around and left, there was no other hope. This was the only answer for her. And when we realize that Christ is our only hope, this is our only chance, I believe we'll come back and we'll be persistent and we'll say, yes, Lord. And again, she was not disrespectful. She did not lose her reverence for the Lord, but she was persistent. And she agreed with the Lord in her condition and said, Lord, help me. Lastly, in verse 28, she said, Jesus said to her, answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's the kind of prayer life I want. I can't say that I have that prayer life, but I want the prayer life that has humility, that has it has that worship, and then it has that persistence. And again, if you look in, I wasn't going to turn there, but if you look in Mark, when this woman, when she says that statement, she agreed with the Lord and said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. It says, the Lord answered and said, because of this saying, this will be done. This will be done. And tonight, I hope tonight this message was a help. I've been helped by this woman's testimony. Listen, if there's a need in your life, don't forget that God wants you to approach Him with humility. He wants you to approach with worship and with persistence. Let's go ahead and close in prayer as the pastor comes. Father, we thank you so much that we have a God that answers prayer. Lord, we don't many times understand all the reasons why that you wait sometimes, or maybe you, we might pray for 10, 15, 20 years for something, Lord. And then finally the answer comes. But Lord, one thing that we do know tonight is that you are merciful and you are kind to sinners. And Lord, we don't deserve even the least of your mercies tonight. And Father, I pray for the one here tonight that has a great need in their life. Lord, just like this woman, she had a great need. Her daughter needed deliverance. Lord, may we have a persistent prayer life like this woman tonight, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. It is amazing what humility and faith will do. Now, you think about this. If she had a false humility when she was first coming before the Lord, that would have been demonstrated right after the Lord had given that refusal about he's not going to cast us to the dogs. Pride would have taken over at that moment. All right? But you know what she said to that? Truth. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of it. You spoke truth. If pride was in that, that's not coming out of her mouth. Truth, Lord. I don't deserve this. And then you see that persistence. I mean, it's so true, that humility, the worship before God, and staying persistent. It'll accomplish so much in our lives. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me ask this question right now. If you are here right now and you are not certain that you have ever been truly converted, you don't know for certain what's going to happen to you when you die. You don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know if you're going to hell. You say, Pastor, please, I do need you to pray for me. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm not certain of that. If that is you, say, Pastor, pray for me. Would you just raise your hand for me? Anybody here like that, please just put your hand up. I see some small children. If you did put your hand up, I missed it. I would need you to do it again. All right. If you don't know that, that is something to get settled. The entire reason that God became a man 2,000 years ago was to save you from a judgment that is coming. When he went to that cross, he truly did take your place in judgment. He took your sin and paid a penalty that you owed. He suffered in your place for your sins. And he offers you his perfect life, his righteousness, so that you can be saved. The Lord dealt with your heart tonight. Why don't you come and pray? Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, certainly for the example given to us in this text. Lord, help us to approach you with such humility, knowing we have no right to demand anything of you. Lord, we know it's of your grace. So help us to approach you humbly with true worship, bowing before you. And Lord, with our persistence. And Lord, please meet the needs of your blessed invitation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.